Oh, I agree. My grin matched his. I thought she was going to go into cardiac arrest right then and there.
So, are we?
Asher guided me through the crowded room. His palm burned through the fabric of my dress, leaving me slightly flushed. Are we what?
Friends.
I extracted an apology for you from a police officer, and you put the hostess in her place for me. So I suppose we are. We passed by a familiar-looking beauty with long legs and high cheekbones. I did a double take when I realized it was the supermodel Ayana. I loved her latest Vogue cover. Karina was going to die. Whose party did you say this was?
Poppy Hart.
I came to an abrupt halt. Wait, this is a Poppy Hart party? Asher's mouth tipped up.
You've heard of her?
I'm going to pretend that's a rhetorical question, I said, earning myself a deep laugh. Everyone knew who Poppy Hart was. The model, socialite, and style icon sat in the front row of every major fashion show, headlined the VIP list of every major event, and chaired the board of every major charity. She was London's latest it girl, and the ultimate arbiter of what was cool and what was not. She was also famous for her ultra-exclusive parties, one of which I was attending right now. Surreal.
Fair enough.
Humor transformed Asher's face into a softer version of itself.
I should tell you she has strict rules for her parties. No cameras, no harassment, and no fights. Exactly like the Angry Boar, except fancier.
That was an understatement. In the past 5 minutes, I'd spotted fire eaters, dancers dressed as the Seven Deadly Sins, and a world-famous DJ from Iceland in the sound booth. Velvet banquettes lined the perimeter of the walls. Crystals formed hanging sculptures in the shapes of stars and flowers and waterfalls. Halos of LED light drenched the seating alcoves in futuristic purple, while a bar stocked with only top-shelf liquor took up an entire wall. I hadn't seen Poppy yet, but the room was bursting with celebrities, socialites, and other varieties of young, rich, beautiful, and famous. Asher and I stopped at the bar. He ordered us two house specials, whatever those were, and handed me one.
So?
He examined me over his glass.
You changed your mind about coming?
Only because I didn't have anything better to do. I took a tentative sip. Whiskey mixed with something rich and sweet. It burned smoother than any drink I'd had before. Don't read too much into it. My appearance tonight is strictly platonic.
Good. Because my invitation was strictly platonic.
Good.
Good.
Our seemingly banal exchange didn't curb the wild current charging around us, drawing our eyes together like magnets and forming a bubble against the noise and movement from the rest of the club. My earlier insecurities, exhaustion, frustration, they all fell away as my body came alive with anticipation. This was why I'd changed my mind, this heady sense of possibility, the exhilaration of dipping my toe into something forbidden. Whatever happened tonight, the rush of this moment was worth it. The combination of alcohol and the heat in Asher's gaze scorched through my veins. Either the drink was stronger than it seemed, or I was treading into dangerous territory. Not treading into, you're already there. Asher! The bubble popped. Noise swept in on a deluge, and I almost stumbled from the force of it. Poppy Hart swanned up to us, a vision in green and gold. She greeted Asher with a cheek kiss before turning her attention to me. Who's this? Unlike the hostess, her question contained only friendly curiosity.
Scarlett, she's a friend.
The timbre of Asher's voice dipped on the word friend, and my toes instinctively curled. Not that kind of friend, I added quickly. His amusement warmed my cheeks while Poppy laughed. With her cinnamon-coloured hair and alabaster skin, she gave every woman here a run for her money. I like you already. It's nice to meet you, Scarlett. She didn't introduce herself. She didn't need to. If it were anyone else, it would come off arrogant, but since it was Poppy, it simply came off natural. After a few minutes of friendly small talk, she made an apologetic face. Do you mind if I steal Asher away for a minute? I have a friend visiting from New York, and she's a huge fan. She'll absolutely murder me if I don't introduce her. She dropped her voice to a stage whisper. I told her Asher isn't all he's cracked up to be in real life, but she refused to listen. I don't mind. It's something they have to learn for themselves. I agreed with mock solemnity.
Thank you both. I appreciate you talking shit about me while I'm standing right here.
Asher said dryly. Anytime. Poppy patted his arm. Scarlet, don't worry, I'll have him back in a jiffy. Her plummy voice somehow made Jiffy sound cool.
I won't be long.
Asher's arm brushed mine on his way past, leaving a trail of tingles in its wake.
Don't get in too much trouble while I'm gone.
I'll try my best, but no guarantees. The way his answering smile made my stomach flip should be illegal. I stuck by the bar and finished my drink while I took in my surroundings. I felt self-conscious about being the only solo person here, but it soon became apparent that everyone was too wrapped up in their own world to notice me standing awkwardly by myself. If it weren't a private party, I'd ask Brooklyn to come up. She seemed like the type who would appreciate the Fire Eater's performances. Was that allowed in a nightclub? Didn't it violate some sort of fire code? If it did, no one seemed concerned.
Bit intimidating, isn't it?
A boyishly good-looking blonde came up beside me. He had shoulders the width of a football pitch and a tiny, endearing mole above his lip that shifted with his smile. A bit, I admitted. I'm here with a friend, but they got called away. Asher used the term, I might as well too.
Boyfriend? Girlfriend?
I smiled at the obvious fishing. Platonic friend. Besides friend, platonic was in the running for the word of the night.
Good for me then,
the blonde said.
Though if I were your friend, I wouldn't leave you alone with the wolves.
He nodded at the crowd around us.
Don't let their expensive clothes and champagne fool you. They're a vicious bunch. If they smell weakness, they'll pounce.
I laughed. I'm glad I have you then. Safety in numbers, right?
Right.
His grin widened. He extended his hand.
I'm Clive.
Scarlet. I'd introduced myself more in the past hour than I had in months, but surprisingly, I didn't mind. I guess it was easier to make friends when I actually left the house. Imagine that. Clive ordered us another round of drinks, and we fell into an easy conversation. I learned that he was a rugby player and Poppy's cousin, hence his appearance tonight.
I don't like these parties either, but I've skipped out on her past three soirees. If I missed this one, she'd clobber me with one of her hideously expensive handbags.
He said with a sheepish smile. I laughed again. Clive wasn't my type, but it was nice to flirt harmlessly with a cute guy at a club. It had been far too long. I was telling him about my job at RAB when the temperature suddenly plunged to sub-Arctic levels. Goosebumps coated my arms, and I trailed off mid-sentence when Asher reappeared. He looked decidedly less pleased than when he'd left. Finished with your fan club already? I quipped. He stared back at me, unsmiling. Poppy was nowhere in sight. Okay, what crawled up his arse and died? Across from me, Clive's expression turned amused.
Donovan, I take it you know Scarlet. Hart.
The curt reply served as both greeting and affirmation.
Do you mind if I steal Scarlet away? We need to discuss something.
My eyebrows winged up. We do? That was news to me.
Sure. Before you leave.
Clive borrowed a pen from the bartender and scribbled his number on a cocktail napkin. He handed it to me with a wink.
In case you ever need safety in numbers again.
A muscle ticked in Asher's jaw, but he didn't say a word until the rugby player disappeared into the crowd. Nor did he say anything as he led us to an alcove near the back of the lounge. Floor-to-ceiling velvet drapes separated it from the main floor. One tug on the tasseled ties and we were ensconced in our own world. I crossed my arms, unsure whether to be nervous, annoyed, or intrigued. I settled for a combination of all three. What's so important that you had to drag me away from my conversation?
I leave you alone for 5 minutes and you pick up the captain of England's national rugby team,
he said.
Impressive.
Seriously? That was what he wanted to talk about. Men. Everything was a dick-measuring contest to them. I didn't pick up Clive, I said. He approached me. What was I supposed to do? Twiddle my thumbs while I wait for you to return from your meet and greet?
You could have talked to anyone except Clive Bloody Hart.
Asher growled.
Don't you know his reputation?
Not really. I didn't follow rugby, so England's entire national team could walk in and I wouldn't know a thing.
Right.
Asher's jaw flexed again.
Don't be fooled by his nice guy act. He's a notorious fuckboy.
I stared at him for a stunned beat before I burst into laughter. Did you just use the word fuckboy unironically? He didn't seem to share an ounce of my amusement.
It's the right term for him. He slept with half the women at this party.
Good thing I wasn't planning on sleeping with him. We were just talking. I crossed my arms. Also, hypocritical much? You're not exactly celibate if the tabloids are to be believed.
The tabloids are never to be believed.
So you didn't have a threesome in Ibiza last year? Asher didn't dignify me with a response.
Are you going to throw his number away?
Yes. No, why would I? It could come in handy one day. I was playing with fire, I knew that. But instead of deterring me, the heat beckoned, urging me closer and closer until I eventually got burned.
I sure as hell hope not,
Asher snapped.
I've seen what happens to girls who get handy with him. It usually ends with tears and tissues.
So what if it does? That's my problem, not yours. I cocked an eyebrow, drunk off potent whiskey and the danger swirling in the air. Why are you so interested in what I do with Clive? Asher, are you jealous? I threw his question from Monday back at him.
What if I am?
The air stilled. Asher's quiet response cut through the music like a knife through silk. It lodged somewhere between my heart and throat, where my pulse beat with the frantic rhythm of a hummingbird's wings. What happened to Platonic? I asked, equally quiet, equally dangerous. It was a last-ditch attempt to cling to normal, though my definition of the word had warped since I met Asher. None of this was normal. Not us standing here, not the way he was looking at me, not the way my heart thrummed in reply. It was enough to make me believe that normal was overrated. Asher closed the distance between us with two deliberate steps. My back pressed against the wall. I had nowhere to run. Even if I had, I wouldn't have gone anywhere. I'd known from the minute I left my house that this might happen. Part of me had expected it. The back and forth, the give and take, the denial and attraction, every piece of choreography had led us to this moment.
Platonic.
The warmth of Asher's breath brushed against my skin.
Does this feel platonic to you?
I couldn't think, couldn't move, couldn't breathe as his hand trailed up my arm and over the bare curve of my shoulder. I burned everywhere he touched. My skin nothing more than a map of little fires that consumed whatever oxygen was left in my lungs. Every muscle was strung tighter than a bowstring. When his palm reached the nape of my neck, my body instinctively arched, just enough to make his eyes flare with heat. His hand curled, anchoring me in place.
I asked you a question, Scarlet.
A breathless shiver ran from my head to the tips of my toes. Does this feel platonic to you? No, I whispered. It doesn't. Another breath shuddered from his chest. That was the last warning I got before he pulled me toward him and slanted his mouth over mine. Chapter 18. Scarlet. The world burst into a kaleidoscope of sensation. I gasped, shocked by the sudden onslaught. Asher used the opportunity to deepen the kiss, sliding his tongue inside and exploring my mouth with such lazy sensuality that any resistance I might have had simply floated away. Some men were gentle, others were aggressive. Everyone had their own technique, and Asher kissed the way he played. Skilled, dominant, and so thorough in his approach that it left me dizzy. I pressed tighter against him, eager for more. Every second of the kiss unraveled another inch of me. The glide of his tongue, the firm hold on my neck, the delicious escalation in pressure, soft at first, then harder, more demanding. I was falling apart, and he was the only thing holding me together. I slid my hands over his back and across his shoulders before I dug my fingers into his hair. He groaned, and another wave of pleasure rippled down my spine. Time lost all meaning. We could have been there for minutes, hours, or days, but as always, physics prevailed. Oxygen grew scarce, and when it finally ran out, we broke apart, gasping. Our ragged breaths filled the enclosed space as we stared at each other, our chests heaving. Gradually, the world seeped back into my consciousness. A flash of movement outside the curtain here, a lyric underlaid with bass there. My mouth was still swollen from our kiss when the fog fully dissipated and left me with the cold, hard reality of what we did. In a nightclub, surrounded by people who would be all too happy to snitch to the tabloids about Asher Donovan and his mystery girl, aka me. Anxiety flooded my bloodstream and chased away the dregs of lust. Oh God, what had I been thinking? Asher must have picked up on the shift in mood because his face turned somber. He had a tiny cut on his bottom lip from where I'd nipped it, and embarrassment swelled at the evidence of what I'd done.
Scarlet.
I have to go. I pushed past him and hurried toward the exit, head bent, heart in my throat. He didn't stop me, and I didn't look back until I was free of Neon's seductive darkness. The queue outside still stretched around the corner. I ignored the stares from the waiting clubgoers and climbed into the first available cab, my mind spinning from how quickly the day had spun out of control. It had started with innocent drinks at the Angry Boar and ended with me running away after kissing Asher Donovan. I came out tonight hoping for excitement. Well, I got it. A little too much of it. I gave the driver my address and was about to text Carino when my phone rang. Vincent. My heart stalled. It was 2 a.m. in Paris. Why was he calling at this hour? He couldn't know about the kiss. It happened literally minutes ago. The party had a no-cameras policy, but what if someone saw us go into the alcove and texted him? I am so stupid. I hadn't thought about the Vincent angle to our relationship in weeks. I should have, considering he was one of the reasons I'd stayed away from Masha for so long, but his physical absence made it easy to forget. My earlier drinks climbed back up my throat as I answered his call. Hello?
You're up.
I heard the whistle of a kettle in the background.
I was expecting your voicemail.
He didn't know. Otherwise, he wouldn't have expected my voicemail. Relief loosened the knot in my lungs. Nope, no voicemail. A nervous laugh leaked out. Just me.
Where are you? It sounds like you're in a car.
I went out with a friend, but I'm on my way home. Technically, not a lie. What's up? Is Dad okay?
He's fine. Complaining about the government and state of modern cinema, per usual.
Vincent said.
But he's recovering well. And Bernadette, our nurse, has a good handle on things. Enough that I can leave the house without him worrying that she'll murder him with arsenic when his back is turned.
I snorted. Our father was eccentric, but I suspected he went on his rants because he liked to complain, not because he believed what he was saying.
Anyway, I'm going to be in London next weekend. I have a promo video to shoot for Nike. You're free for dinner one of those nights.
I do have a riveting date with my latest thriller, but I suppose I could make time for you. I strove for a normal, sarcastic tone. If I was too quiet or accommodating, he'd know something was wrong.
Your generosity knows no bounds,
Vincent said wryly.
It'll be good to catch up. How are things going with Donovan? He's not giving you a hard time, is he?
His tone darkened at the mention of his teammate. My pulse sped up again. No, I squeaked. Quite the opposite, actually. He's fine, very, professional. Daring training. I let the daring training part do the heavy lifting.
Good. I hate that you have to spend a whole summer with him.
I could practically see Vincent gritting his teeth.
Be careful, Letty.
I mumbled some semblance of a response.
If he so much as lays a hand on you or makes you uncomfortable, let me know immediately,
Vincent said.
I'll kill him.
You're so dramatic. I forced another laugh. It sounded like I'd inhaled a tank of helium. I can take care of myself. Hey, I just got home, so I'm going to call it a night. Text me when you get in next weekend, okay? I could tell he wanted to say more, but he settled for a simple,
yep, see you soon.
I hung up and leaned my head against the headrest, too exhausted to fret over the taxi ride. Asher and I had completely upended our relationship within the span of 5 minutes. My brother was visiting next weekend, and I was stuck in the back seat of a cab, wondering how exactly I'd fucked myself so thoroughly.
Chapter 19. Asher. 5 till 5. Scarlet was due to arrive at any minute. I ran a hand through my hair, fiddled with the volume controls on the sound system, straightened the dumbbells on the rack. None of it dislodged the phantom touch of her lips against mine. It had haunted me since Saturday night, when I finally gave in to the damn need inside me and kissed her. That fucking kiss. If Scarlet had plagued my thoughts before, the kiss had built her a permanent home there and invited her in for tea. She was the only thing I could think about before sleeping, after waking up, while showering, and basically during any activity I used to try and forget her. It drove me up the wall. And yet, I didn't regret what happened. That alone terrified me more than any consequences. My career had always been my number one. It anchored my world, and the fact that I was willing to risk it, no matter how indirectly, for a woman. I rubbed a hand over my face, but I didn't get a chance to pursue that train of thought before soft footsteps scattered my concentration. I looked up. My heartbeat slowed when Scarlet entered, her black hair scraped back into a dancer's bun, and her lithe frame clad in a leotard, jumper, and ballet skirt. I hadn't chased after her on Saturday because we'd both needed space to think. But seeing her again after 2 days proved that space didn't do shit. I was as twisted up about her now as I'd been at Neon. Hey! I aimed for casual and landed somewhere north of cautious.
Hi.
She shrugged off her jumper and hung it on a hook by the door.
So we're focusing on agility today. I suggest moving outside so we—
Scarlet.
Yes?
The rigid set of her shoulders belied her cool tone. We should talk about Saturday night. I wasn't going to let her pretend nothing happened. We were beyond those games.
There's nothing to talk about.
Oh, maybe we're not. Irritation simmered low in my blood. I disagree, I said silkily. If she wanted to play that game, we'd play on my terms. We have plenty to talk about. For example, the way you taste or the way you sighed when I pressed you against the wall. Or maybe we should talk about how your hair feels, wrapped around my—
Stop.
Flags of color scorched the crest of her cheekbones.
It was a kiss. We were drunk and we got caught up in the moment. It didn't mean anything.
The ember of irritation ignited into anger. Bullshit. I closed the distance between us. She lifted her chin, her expression stubborn, but I detected a faint quickening in the rise and fall of her chest. I knew you were a coward when it came to movies. I didn't expect that from you in real life, too. Scarlet's nostrils flared with a sharp inhale. I tamped down a swell of regret. I'd said what needed to be said. She couldn't run from the hard stuff forever. This was the same girl who'd reamed out a police officer for bumping into me, who'd survived a horrible accident and came out stronger on the other side. She was so bold and resilient in so many ways that it killed me to see her fears win.
Fine, let's say the kiss did mean something,
she said.
What then? Do we date? Have a summer fling? Call things off when the season starts? There are always people watching you, Asher. It'd be impossible to keep a relationship secret.
Her jaw hardened.
You lost the championship last season because you and Vincent didn't work together. Imagine how much worse it'll get if he finds out something happened between us. Imagine how your coach will react. You'll both ruin your careers, and I will not allow that to happen, nor will I play a part in it.
My bubble of anger deflated. Of course I'd considered the obstacles she'd laid out. Hell, they were the reason I'd fought my attraction for so long. But the more time we spent together, the hazier those obstacles seemed. Her clinical breakdown of the situation threw them right back into focus. I wasn't surprised by the Vincent and career angle, but the issue with the Paps. I hadn't paid as much attention to that as I should have. Most of the women I'd dated in the past were public figures themselves, so they were used to the attention. Scarlet wasn't. If anything happened between us, they'd harass her to the ends of the earth. They'd follow her, dig through her trash, talk to her old friends and classmates. Anything and everything to make a buck. They were always around it. I knew players who made things work with their civilian partners, but at the risk of sounding arrogant, they didn't have as visible a profile as I did. The tabloids would eat Scarlet alive. I'd let the privacy of our studio and the respite of summer lull me into a false sense of security. It didn't matter how much I wanted her or how much I wished things between us could work. If she didn't want it and she wasn't prepared for it, then that was it. Case closed. The post-kiss fantasies that had consumed me all weekend cleared, leaving a tang of bitterness in their wake. You're right. The word sounded hollow despite the thickness in my throat. I don't know what I was thinking. We'll pretend the kiss never happened and never discuss it again.
Great.
Scarlet swallowed.
I'm glad we're on the same page.
Me too. We didn't speak about anything non-workout related for the rest of the session. She'd given us both the wake-up call we needed, so I ignored the cramp in my chest and carried on with my training. Later that night, I drove my Bugatti to a borough in North London. Its seclusion, wide open roads, and indifferent law enforcement made it a hotspot for local high rollers who like to indulge in a bit of street racing without the complications of other car scenes, namely leaks, paps, and drugs. There wasn't a race scheduled this week, but people usually showed up anyway to brag about their latest vehicle or indulge in friendly competition. Tonight was no exception. A half dozen cars were already parked in the meetup lot when I arrived. My headlights sliced a bright swath through the group before I cut the engine and joined them. I recognized everyone there. A footballer from Chelsea, a B-list actor with a supporting role in a major fantasy series, several rugby players, including Clive. A wave of something unpleasant burned through my veins.
Donovan!
Simon, the footballer, greeted me first.
Haven't seen you in a while.
Been busy. You know how it is. I returned his one-armed hug and slapped him on the back, before saying hi to the others. I stopped at Clive and gave him a cool nod. The image of him and Scarlet flirting at neon rose, unbidden in my mind, and a wave of something unpleasant hurtled through my veins. Clive leaned against his car, his self-deprecating demeanor stripped in the absence of potential bed partners. He was a regular at these meetups. I hadn't lied when I said I'd met him through Poppy, but we saw each other here more often than at her parties.
Surprised you're not with your girl, he drawled.
I wasn't the only one thinking of Scarlet. The mere evidence that she existed somewhere in his filthy mind made my muscles coil.
Never seen the great Asher Donovan that possessive over someone. Must be serious.
The other's ears visibly perked up. Society painted women as gossips, but truthfully, no one talked more shit than a group of blokes.
I don't know what you're on about.
If I displayed an ounce of genuine interest in Scarlet, Clive would swoop in like a fucking bird of prey. He liked stealing others' partners just to prove he could.
No.
His smile told me he didn't believe a word I said.
Damn, you're even more into her than I thought. Since you want to play dumb, I'll refresh your memory. Black hair, great ass. Looks like a young Liz Taylor. I was about to close the deal with her before you interrupted. I hate to break it to you, but you weren't about to close anything.
My pleasant tone belied the dangerous thrum in my chest.
She actually has good taste. Yeah, and she was eating my shit up. All the girls do.
Yeah? Has she contacted that number you gave her? That wiped the grin off his face.
I liked her, you know,
he said, his narrow gaze assessing.
She's fit, she's funny, she can carry a conversation. I get why you're so twisted up about her.
Prior to Saturday, I didn't have a problem with Clive. Like I told Scarlet, he was a fuckboy and a bit of a tool, but those things were par for the course when it came to professional athletes. After Saturday, I'd die happily if I could smash his face in before I croaked. His acute observation about my feelings towards Scarlet raised several alarms. He'd only seen us interact once, so the fact he'd hit the nail on the head didn't bode well for me. But I ignored the warning bells for now. It wasn't like the three of us would ever inhabit the same space again.
So is she a good shag?
He asked.
If she is, I might take her for a ride once you're done with...
I moved before he had a chance to blink. His sentence cut off with a surprised grunt and the slam of muscle against metal. The rest of the group, who'd been following our exchange like avid spectators watching a tennis rally, broke out into a chorus of oohs. Anger muffled their jeers and narrowed my focus on Clive. The air sparked against my skin like a live wire. My blood pumped with the ferocity of a charging bull. I imagined slamming him against the car again. Imagined my fist in his face, my knee in his groin. I wasn't a violent person, but when it came to Scarlet being hurt, my values unraveled.
I get why you're so twisted up about her.
If he only knew.
Don't talk about her like that again,
I said, soft enough for Clive's ears only, steely enough for him to hear the implicit threat. He raised his hands in surrender.
I guess I have my answer. His tone contained equal hints of triumph and unease. With one reckless move, I'd shredded my neutrality. He knew exactly how I felt about Scarlet. But wiping that smug look off his face had been worth it. Yet it still wasn't enough. A physical fight would provide short-term satisfaction, but I wanted to hit Clive where it would really hurt. How about a friendly wager? My smile didn't match my words. 50 grand says my Bugatti beats your McLaren. Clive's eyes narrowed. I loved my cars, but he had an unhealthy obsession with his McLaren. It was his pride and joy, and if he could marry it, he probably would. He also had an ego the size of Jupiter, and a reputation for being a sore loser. Rugby, racing, it didn't matter. He needed to be number one. Double it and make it 100, he said. So predictable. Done. With my brand sponsorships and transfer money, I made significantly more than Clive did in a year. But he had family money to back up his professional salary. However, the word on the street was that most of his inheritance was locked in a trust, so his doubling of my initial challenge was driven by pure ego. Our spontaneous race lacked the bells and whistles of a planned competition. There were no cheering crowds, no drinks and music. There was only us, our cars and the road, just the way I liked it. Simon volunteered to count us down. We drove to the main road, and he took his position in front of us, using his shirt as the starter flag. 3. The powerful growl of the engine vibrated through me, sharpening the edges of my anticipation. 2. I tightened my grip on the wheel. Almost there. 1. The flag came down, my foot hit the pedal, and the screech of tires filled the air as we rocketed forward with reckless abandon. Darkened buildings and empty lots whizzed by in a blur. My heart rate kept pace with the car as we flew through the streets. This was what I'd needed. I'd been in a foul mood since training, and nothing helped me vent like a good race. The first corner approached. I braced myself, my body tense as I calculated the perfect angle for a clean turn. Beside me, Clive appeared to do the same. We zoomed toward the bend in near parallel streaks. Not yet. The guardrail loomed. Its rusted metal glowed with menace beneath our glaring headlights. Not yet. The world narrowed to that one stretch of pavement. Now! With a quick flick of the wheel, I punched the car into a sharp turn. The tires squealed, but a controlled switch between the brake and accelerator smoothed the shift. I was clear, and I'd pulled ahead of Clive. However, my grin of triumph faded when the glint of his headlights filled my side mirror again. He'd recovered faster than I'd expected. Motherfucker. He inched in front of me by a hair. I caught up a second later. On and on, we traded leads until the finish line came into view. Simon stood by the roadside, shirt in hand. Clive and I were still neck to neck. I could take one of two strategies. Either I pushed now, or... fuck it. I went with my gut and eased my foot off the throttle a centimeter, just enough to let Clive speed past. I ignored his gloating stare even as my blood drummed to the beats of competition and adrenaline. Are you going to throw his number away? No. Why would I? It was a kiss. It didn't mean anything. I get why you're so twisted up about her. Is she a good shag? If she is, I might take her for a ride. I slammed my foot on the pedal in the home stretch. It was my first time going full speed. No holds barred in this car, and the Bugatti shot forward like a bullet tearing through the night. My body hurtled forward while my organs remained behind. The amount of G-force I'd unleashed proved exactly what several million pounds worth of vehicular optimization could do. So I held on and didn't fucking breathe as the scenery outside morphed into an indistinguishable blur. I imagined this was what astronauts experienced during a rocket launch, acceleration so powerful it pressed them into their seats through sheer force. Thank God I hadn't eaten before I left the house. But my temporary lightheadedness soon gave way to relief and the sweet, sweet taste of victory as I flew past the finish line half a second before Clive. Gravel sprayed as we skidded to a stop. Fuck! I heard his shout of frustration loud and clear through the glass. And I didn't bother hiding my smirk as I exited my car. Clive slammed his door shut and spat on the ground. One of his rugby buddies tried to console him with a pat on the back, but he shrugged him off with a scowl. I walked over and held out my hand. Part common courtesy, part acknowledgement that I'd won. After a moment of audible teeth grinding, he took it. I squeezed. Dark satisfaction coasted through my chest when discomfort shaped the contours of his grimace. I trust the 100 grand will be in my account tomorrow, I drawled. Clive's eye twitched. I'm good for it. I believed him. He wouldn't go back on his word. Not when we had witnesses. He'd lose too much street cred. Good. I released his hand and pretended not to notice as he discreetly shook it out. Simon and the rest of the guys watched us, their faces wrapped with fascination. And Clive, don't ever talk about Scarlet again, or losing 100 grand will be the least of your problems. I walked away, his glare of resentment scorching my back. He was probably plotting how to get back at me, but I didn't care. He could plot and sulk all he wanted. I'd made my point, and I'd taken the edge off my frustration, which was what I came here to do. 2 birds with 1 stone. However, the high from winning faded quicker than I would have liked. I only made it halfway home before a swarm of unwanted thoughts buzzed through my head again. I drove because it calmed me. I raced because it exhilarated me in a way no drug could touch. Racing made me feel in control, alive. Tonight, I'd needed that more than most nights. Yes, I'd wanted to teach Clive a lesson, but I'd also wanted to forget about my kiss with Scarlet. For 15 glorious minutes, I had. But now that Clive was gone and the race was behind me, my thoughts returned to where they always went. Back to her. And there was nothing I could do to stop it.
Chapter 20. Scarlet. That enough popcorn for you, or should I buy you another bucket? I asked. Vincent grabbed the bucket from the counter and arched an eyebrow at me.
I'm preparing for you to steal half my snacks the way you always do.
I gasped. Oh, do not.
Do too.
He pitched his voice higher.
No thanks, I'm not hungry.
10 minutes later.
Vince, can I have some of your chips?
Oh, shut up. Like you don't steal my stuff all the time. Remember when you stole my limited edition Adele vinyl one summer because she was your crush's favorite singer and you wanted to impress her? Then you scratched it and tried to make it up to me by taking me to Nando's.
First of all, Nando's is great. Second of all, that was 10 years ago. You have to let it go.
Never. I followed him to our assigned theater. That's what little sisters are for, to remind you of your transgressions for the rest of your life. Vincent rolled his eyes.
I should have rescheduled my promo video and stayed in Paris. I'm clearly not appreciated here.
Wrong. I appreciate you opening your wallet. He'd covered our movie tickets and snacks today. I'm so lucky to have such a generous ATM by my side. He snorted out a laugh and ruffled my hair with his free hand.
Ha, brat.
Stop! You're messing up my hair. I pushed his hand away, but I couldn't resist a laugh. Despite his overprotectiveness, inflated ego, and totally slanderous lies about my food-stealing habits, he was a great brother, which was why my kiss with Asher felt like a betrayal even though I hadn't meant it as one. A needle of guilt wormed through my gut. Don't think about it. Today was about sibling bonding and the latest Nate Reynolds movie. There was no room for anything else in this theater. Vincent and I secured our favorite middle row seats with ease. It was Saturday afternoon, well before the evening rush, and we were at our favorite little cinema on the outskirts of London. He'd also dressed down in one of his ridiculous disguises. Baseball cap, sunglasses, hoodie with the hood pulled up. I kept telling him that wearing sunglasses inside made him look like a wanker, which in turn made me look like someone who'd be friends with a wanker, but he wouldn't listen. While Vincent settled in to watch the trailers, I checked my phone. I texted Brooklyn last Sunday to thank her again for getting me into Neon Q3, and we'd been talking like longtime friends since. I had a new message from her inviting me to brunch one day. Answer, of course I'd love to join. As well as one from Karina asking if I thought cricket dropshipping was a viable side gig. Answer, no, Not for her, since she hated insects. Other than that, I had no other messages. Not that I was expecting or desiring any, especially not from anyone I was training. My studio time with Asha had been cordial and professional all week. I showed up, we worked out, I left. Not a single hint of flirting in sight. I grabbed a handful of popcorn from Vincent's bucket and stuffed it in my mouth.
Ha! See?
He sent an accusing glare my way.
Stealing.
I ignored him and reached for more. All the reasons I gave Asha for why we wouldn't work were true, and I refused to be one of those people who got mad when others did what they asked. I told him to pretend the kiss never happened, and he had. So why did I feel like crap about it?
Dubois, that you?
Vincent and I looked up at the same time. Blonde hair, hazel eyes, boyish grin. My heart sank to my toes. Clive.
Hearts, what's up, man?
Vincent slapped hands with him while I sank deeper into my seat. If I hadn't been convinced the universe was fucking with me before, I was a true believer now. The chances of us running into Clive in this dinky cinema were so slim they were near impossible, yet here he was. If I were a more paranoid person, I'd find his appearance suspicious, but it was a huge movie opening and I didn't have a monopoly on this cinema. Besides, I wasn't vain or self-centered enough to think a guy would stalk me after meeting me once. After he greeted Vincent, Clive's attention flipped to me. His eyes widened and a slow smile spread across his face.
Scarlet, wow, I didn't expect.
His gaze slid to Vincent again.
Are you on a date?
Full body shudders ran through me and Vincent at the same time.
Abso-fucking-lutely not,
Vincent said.
She's my sister. Sister?
Clive's gaze darted back and forth, obviously trying to make sense of our contrasting looks.
Adopted.
Vincent's brows drew together.
Wait, how do you know her?
Oh, fuck. My fingers curled around the edge of my seat. If Clive mentioned Neon, that was a step away from mentioning Asha, and that was a step away from total disaster.
We met at a party last weekend. She...
The one I told you about, I added quickly. Remember, Vince? I was there with Karina, and you called me on my way home? Clive's eyebrows rose at the emphasis I placed on Karina's name. He knew I hadn't shown up with a girlfriend, and I could practically see the wheels turning in his head. Please be smart enough to pick up on what I'm putting out.
Where was the party? You didn't say.
Suspicion leaked into Vincent's voice. I didn't blame him. Karina and I weren't big partiers, and we certainly weren't the types who usually attended the same events as someone like Clive. Some club, I forgot the name, I said. The night was kind of a blur.
Heart? You remember?
Vincent asked. The suspicion grew from a seed into a sapling. I saw the instant the pieces clicked for Clive. I was Vincent's sister. I'd lied about being at the party with Karina, so I didn't have to mention who I was really with, Asha. Like 98% of the planet, Clive probably knew Asha and Vincent didn't get along. It didn't take a genius to put two and two together.
Peony, Legends, MYX. It could have been any or none of those,
Clive said.
Honestly, I was pretty smashed. Don't remember much beyond meeting Scarlet. Huh?
Vincent's eyes narrowed.
What happened after you met?
We talked for a few minutes, then I took Karina to the loo because she, got sick and threw up all over the bar. I'm so sorry, Carl. I'll donate extra to your penguin fund to make up for the slander. My brother grimaced. Thankfully, we were saved from further interrogation when the lights dimmed and a pre-recorded voice announced the film was about to start. How do you know Clive? I whispered after the rugby player left and took his seat several rows behind us. My nerves were still in knots from the close call. I needed to know how often Vincent talked to Clive in case the latter slipped up about Asha.
We have a few mutual friends, but we're not that close.
Vincent finally took his sunglasses off and dropped them in the cup holder.
Stay away from him. He's a fuckboy.
Interesting. Asha had said the exact same thing. The opening credits rolled. The ensuing action sequences and up-close shots of Nate Reynolds' face temporarily alleviated my worries, but my bladder caught up with me an hour in. I snuck out during a lull and quickly used the loo. I didn't want to miss anything important. I exited the toilet and nearly bumped into Clive, who was leaving the men's room at the same time.
Hey!
He smiled.
Third run-in in a week. I'm starting to think the universe is trying to tell us something.
The universe has been trying to tell me a lot of things lately. I wished it would keep its mouth shut, but it had a tendency to butt in where it wasn't welcome. Perhaps, though I'm not sure the cinema and the cinema toilet count as two separate instances. Just because I had beef with an immortal, amorphous force didn't mean I had to bring innocent bystanders into it. Clive laughed.
I guess not.
Thank you for not blowing my cover earlier, I added. Vincent can be a little overprotective, and I didn't want him knowing that,
You and Donovan have a thing going on.
It might have been a trick of the light, but I thought I saw Clive's eyes flicker at the mention of Asher. We don't have a thing going on. If I could bold, highlight, and underline that sentiment 3 times, I would. We're just friends, colleagues, acquaintances. None of those terms felt right. Platonic. I was starting to hate that word, but it was the most accurate description I could come up with. Platonic people don't kiss each other. My inner voice sang in an apparent bid to outdo the universe as my most hated incorporeal entity.
Platonic, huh?
Clive's eyebrows winged up.
Does Donovan know that? I thought he was going to punch me when I gave you my number.
I don't know. I forced a flippant smile. You'll have to ask him. From my end, we're platonic. The words tasted strangely like betrayal, but I swallowed nonetheless.
That's good to know.
Clive rubbed a thumb over his bottom lip.
In that case, would you like to get dinner sometime?
Are you asking me on a date? I should have seen where this was going, but that didn't stop surprise from bleeding into my tone.
Yes.
He offered a crooked smile. When Asher did it, it seemed genuine, but for some reason, Clive's looked a little put on.
I didn't get a chance on Saturday, and I figure this is the universe's way of giving me a second shot. I promise I'll take you somewhere nicer than this.
He gestured around us. I drew my bottom lip between my teeth. The conversation had already dragged on too long. I'd missed a good chunk of the film while we were chatting, but I was torn. Asher and Vincent had both warned me away from Clive. What did they say? That he was a fuckboy. Then again, they were biased, and what good-looking professional athlete didn't go through a player phase? The important thing was, Clive wasn't Asher. His smile didn't make my heart flutter, his flirting didn't get under my skin, and a dinner with him had no consequences beyond a few potentially wasted hours. If the date went south, I wouldn't have to see him ever again. Clive was still waiting with an expectant expression. In that case, yes, I said. I'd love to go out to dinner with you. I told Asher about my run-in with Clive and the story I'd concocted for Vincent during our next session. I doubted the party would come up between him and Vincent, but in case it did, I wanted to make sure our stories were aligned. However, Asher seemed less concerned about my brother finding out we were at Poppy's party together, and more concerned about Clive.
He just so happened to show up at the cinema you and Vincent frequent.
His nostrils flared.
That doesn't strike you as suspicious?
We don't own the place. He has as much right to be there as we do.
Have you ever seen him there before?
No, I admitted. Not that I remember, but that doesn't mean anything. He could have been in the area and dropped in, or we could have crossed paths there before, but I didn't notice. No one paid attention to the random people they passed unless there was a good reason to. Asher was being paranoid.
I don't like it,
he said flatly.
You slipped through his fingers at Neon and now he sees you as a challenge. I wouldn't be surprised if he somehow figured out you liked that cinema and planned the accidental run-in. I didn't get a chance on Saturday. And I figure this is the universe's way of giving me a second shot.
Clive's words echoed for a beat before logic took over. Okay, you need to ease off the thrillers because you're entering conspiracy territory. I crossed my arms. Maybe he's a player, but I doubt he's a stalker. How would he know the exact date, time, and movie Vincent and I were going to see? It's not like we broadcast that information online. Asher opened his mouth, then shut it without replying. Exactly. As for the other part, I gripped the bar. Do you think the only reason someone could possibly like me is if they see me as a challenge? Was that why he'd been so persistent in his flirting? To stick it to Vincent? The prospect made bile rise in my throat. It was ridiculous. By now, I knew Asher well enough to know he wouldn't do something so mean-spirited. But once the seed had been planted, it was hard to dig it out. His mouth thinned.
That's not what I meant, and you know it.
Actually, I don't. I should have left it at that, but my mouth kept running of its own accord. Also, player or not, I like Clive. He's nice.
That's what he wants you to think.
I ignored the snark. As a matter of fact, he asked me out on a date, and I said yes. The words fell into a pool of TNT-laced tension. Ash's jaw ticked, and I instinctively braced myself for an explosion. It never came. After a beat of silence, he turned and jabbed the power button for the sound system. The faint strains of a classical hip-hop instrumental filled the room.
Good for you,
he said, his tone unreadable.
Have fun.
I will. Stop talking. But I couldn't. It was like my mouth had a mind of its own. He's taking me to the Golden Wharf this Friday. It's supposed to be one of the best restaurants in the city.
Great.
Afterward, we might head to this secret cocktail bar that—
I get it.
Asher bit out. He faced me again, his expression stamped with irritation.
Can we start training, or will you continue to regale me with unsolicited details about your love life?
I suppressed a flinch, but he was right. Why was I provoking him? We should be working, not engaging in this ridiculous back and forth. However, things had been so coldly civil between us that it was nice to see sparks fly again.
I guess things didn't work out with your West End suitor,
Asher said, more calmly this time. My brows knitted. West End suitor?
The guy you went to see a West End show with earlier this summer.
What is he? Oh, he was talking about my girls' night with Karina. We'd watched a musical and gotten smashed on blueberry cocktails afterward. I hadn't outright said it was a date, but I'd led Asher to believe it was a romantic outing. Even back then, I'd unconsciously been trying to make him jealous. The realization struck with the force of an anvil. I swallowed, wishing I had a pair of magic scissors so I could snip my way out of this tangled mess. When it came to Asher, should and want battled for dominance over my decisions, and the winner changed by the hour. I hated myself for how wishy-washy that made me. I kissed him, then I ran away. I told him to pretend the kiss never happened, then I tried to provoke him by discussing my upcoming date with Clive. I wanted to make him jealous, but I wanted him to leave me alone. I was turning into the type of person I hated, the kind who couldn't make up her mind and flip-flopped between what she said and what she did. The problem was, I didn't know how to stop it. No, I said in response to Asher's statement. It didn't work out romantically. We decided we're better off as friends. It was the truth. If I stretched the truth out and dipped it in a bowl of lie by omission sauce.
I see.
Asher's jaw ticked again.
It's funny you mentioned the Golden Wharf. I have a date there this Friday too.
I couldn't hold back a snort. Oh, please.
Oh, you think I'm lying?
What are the chances you have a date at the same restaurant on the same night as me, right after I tell you about it?
What are the chances you run into Clive at some hole-in-the-wall cinema a week after meeting him when you've never seen him there before?
He countered. Damn it, he got me there. Who's your date? I asked, still suspicious.
Someone I met over the weekend. She's cute, funny, and loves football. I'm excited to take her out.
The fact he was clearly trying to make me jealous didn't stop me from feeling, well, jealous. Great.
It is.
More silence punctured only by the instrumentals soaring in the background.
We should go on a double date,
Asher said after 10 long, tense seconds. I burst into laughter, but it tapered off when he didn't join me. He couldn't be serious. Are you daft? I demanded. What makes you think that'll be a good idea? You don't even like Clive.
I don't have to like him to double date with him.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
No, it's not. Think about it. First dates are awkward. It's a small restaurant, and we'll both be there anyway. This is the perfect way for us to get to know the other person without the pressure of a one-on-one.
Asher, darling, if you don't have faith in your first date skills, you should have just said so, I said, deliberately throwing his nickname for me back at him. His smirk indicated he'd caught it.
My dating skills aren't the ones I'm worried about.
Are you implying I'm a bad date? Asher shrugged.
I wouldn't know, but I know I'm not a bad date.
Please, I'll have Clive eating out of my hand before the main course. I hadn't been on a date in a while, but I could turn on the charm when I wanted.
He's a guy,
Asher said.
He'll eat anything you put in front of him.
Way to insinuate my date has no standards.
You're the one who said it, not me.
You shouldn't talk. You depend on your looks and money to do the heavy lifting. I jabbed my finger at his chest. It was like poking a brick wall. I bet you can't carry a dinner's worth of conversation to save your life. Your date will be bored to tears.
You want to bet on it?
Ash's eyes glinted with challenge.
Let's see who ends the night with a second date lined up. Winner gets bragging rights. Loser suffers eternal shame.
A bet? What are we, teenagers? I scoffed. A beat passed. What happens if we both get a second date?
Then we can sleep soundly knowing we've made it to adulthood with the proper social skills.
It was a trap. A double date with Asher was the worst idea in the history of worst ideas, and my self-preservation instincts were screaming at me not to take the bait. But if I backed down, he'd say I was afraid, that I wasn't up for the task, and that was unacceptable. Fine, I accept your bet. Even if we weren't betting on anything material, I had no intention of walking away from Friday night's dinner without a second date locked in. May the best man or woman win.
Chapter 21. Asher. I shouldn't have suggested a double date. I didn't know what Monday afternoon Asher had been smoking, but Friday night Asher knew he was in deep shit the minute he arrived at the Golden Wharf.
Wow.
Ivy took in the flowering plants and gilded doors, her eyes wide.
This place is amazing.
It's one of the best, I said, distracted. It took one call for me to secure a table for four at the most exclusive restaurant in town. That wasn't the problem. Neither was finding a date. Contrary to what I'd told Scarlett, I'd spent last weekend at home. I hadn't met anyone anywhere. But Ivy was a friend who'd been on board with a free meal and entertainment. She wasn't interested in me romantically, so it was perfect. I didn't want the complication of bringing someone who thought the date meant something. I'd briefed her on how and when we supposedly met, so that wasn't the problem either. No, the problem was walking toward us right now, and she looked good enough to make me regret every decision that led me to this point in time. I'd seen Scarlett in workout clothes. I'd seen her in my bathrobe and my shirt. The latter remained one of the hottest sights of my life. I'd even seen her dolled up for a night out at Neon. But I'd never seen her like this. Her simple black dress stopped just above her knee and hugged her in all the right places, highlighting her delicate curves and long, slender legs. Silver heels added 3 inches to her height, and her hair cascaded past her shoulders in soft waves. It looked so touchable. I almost reached for her before I stopped myself. I didn't know what she did with her makeup, but it defined her features in a way that made them pop without being overwhelming. Huge dark eyes, soft red lips. Perfection. Nevertheless, I couldn't pinpoint what exactly was different about her appearance tonight. She was always beautiful, and her outfit, though elegant, wasn't extraordinary in its uniqueness. But as she neared, I realized it wasn't her clothes or hair or makeup. It was her. It was the way she moved, her hips swaying with a combination of confidence and sultriness that she kept hidden when we were in the studio. It was the soft gleam lighting up her eyes. It was the glow in her face and the smile on her lips. Up until this point, I'd been dealing with professional Scarlett. Even when we'd flirted and kissed, she'd clung to pieces of that mask with determined fingers. The Scarlett that was walking toward me. She wasn't wearing a mask. This was the Scarlett I'd see if we were dating. If I picked her up at her flat, flowers in hand. If we walked down the street, our fingers intertwined. If we woke up in the morning, her head on my chest. This was what Scarlett would look like if she were mine. The chatter from the restaurant fell away. I swallowed past the sudden dryness in my throat and wished I had a strong whiskey on hand. I needed it. Desperately. Scarlett stopped in front of us. Her eyes held mine for a fraction of a beat too long before sliding to Ivy.
Hi.
Hi. A trace of roughness ran beneath my voice. You look breathtaking. Nice.
Thank you.
Her mouth curved, but I could see the mask sliding back into place. hiding the momentary softness in her eyes.
So do you. Both, I mean, both of you look good.
I almost smiled at her adorable verbal stumble when a possessive hand touched her arm. White shirt, blue tie. Clive. My mood plummeted like a dead fly into a vat of acid. I'd been so focused on Scarlet, I'd overlooked his presence by her side. He'd followed the restaurant's dress code to a T, but his shirt stretched a little too tight across his chest, and his watch gleamed a little too bright beneath the lights. I'd bet another 100,000 quid that he deliberately wore a shirt that was half a size too small so his muscles looked bigger. 1 point for ego, 0 for style. And he was still holding onto Scarlet's arm. That fucker. Clive flashed a tiny smirk in my direction. Anger simmered in my veins. He'd sought her out on purpose at the cinema. I didn't know how, but he had. He was furious about losing the race, and he was using her to get to me. I couldn't say anything without looking bitter and paranoid, so I kept my mouth shut. For now. Play smarter, not harder. However, my anger gave way to confusion when Clive's smirk fell. He stared at my date, his mouth agape. Ivy!
Clive?
Ivy sounded as stunned as he looked. Color climbed high on her cheekbones, and I got the distinct impression that she would rather melt into the sidewalk than stand here with us. Scarlet broke the silence first.
Do you two know each other?
Yes, we... Clive cleared his throat. We used to date.
A long time ago.
Ivy added quickly.
At uni.
Holy shit. I supposed it made sense. I'd met Ivy through Poppy, and Clive was Poppy's cousin. That entire circle attended the same schools and functions growing up. That being said, the chances of my date and Scarlet's date being exes were so slim it was laughable. It almost made me believe Clive running into Scarlet at the movies was just another bizarre twist of coincidence. Almost.
Wow.
Scarlet blinked.
It really is a small world.
There was strained laughter all around. After a quick introduction between Scarlet and Ivy, we entered the restaurant. The cloud of tension followed us like a swarm of buzzing gnats. The Golden Wharf's patrons were used to famous faces, so we took our seats near the privacy-tinted windows with minimal fuss.
So how did you and Asher meet?
Scarlet asked after we placed our orders. In an odd seating shuffle, I ended up across from her and next to Ivy. Clive and I sat as far from each other as possible, though that didn't mean much for a foretop in an intimate dining room. We were still close, and he was definitely too fucking close to Scarlet, who was hemmed in between him and the wall. Ivy flicked a quick glance at me before answering.
We met at a wine bar last weekend,
she said.